welcome to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, December the 6th, the Feast of St. Nicholas. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's goodness today. My friends, we are going to take a look at the readings for the second Sunday of Advent. We are going to hear from the prophet Baruch, and we are going to hear from Luke. And I know that we don't often hear from Baruch, kind of an odd little book that they throw in at us every now and then, and really, kind of now is the only then. It's here. And we'll talk a little bit more about who Baruch is and what this is later on. But for those who like to follow along, Baruch, first of all, you're going to have to either get a Catholic Bible or get a Bible with an Apocrypha, because that's where you're going to find Baruch. Baruch chapter 5, verses 1 to 9 will be what we look at. And for the Gospel, we are going to get into Luke. Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Again, we'll talk a little bit about that as well. Some wonderful readings coming your way. Again, what we're looking at is the second Sunday of Advent, and we're going to see our readings take a turn toward hope. That's a good thing, right? Which makes perfect sense during this time and this season. Expectant waiting, which is hopeful. All right, so however it is, my friends, that you prepare yourself mentally, emotionally, spiritually, to receive this word well, I invite you to do that at this time as we open ourselves to the Word of God. A reading from the book of the prophet Baruch. Jerusalem, take off your robe of mourning and misery. Put on the splendor of glory from God forever. Wrapped in the cloak of justice from God, bear on your head the mitre that displays the glory of the eternal name. For God will show all the earth your splendor. You will be named by God forever the peace of justice, the glory of God's worship. Up, Jerusalem, stand upon the heights. Look to the east and see your children gathered from the east and the west at the word of the Holy One, rejoicing that they are remembered by God. Led away on foot by their enemies, they left you. But God will bring them back to you, borne aloft in glory as on royal thrones. For God has commanded that every lofty mountain be made low, and that the age-old depths and gorges be filled to level ground, that Israel may advance secure in the glory of God. The forests and every fragrant kind of tree have overshadowed Israel at God's command, for God is leading Israel in joy by the light of his glory, with his mercy and justice for company. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As always, my friends, if there was an image, and there was lots of images, right? There were lots of them right there. If there was an image, if there was a thought, an idea, a word, a phrasing, if the Spirit moved within you in any way in the hearing of that reading, I invite you just sit with that. Pause the pod. Do whatever you need and allow that Spirit to burrow deeper and just affect you, be present with you in the way that the Spirit needs to through that image, idea, phrasing, thought, whatever that is, okay? Let's take a look at the Gospel. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius was tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. The word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." My friends, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, these are powerful readings. Okay, so first of all, let's just take a look from 30,000 foot level. We're at the second Sunday of Advent, right? The last 2 to 3 weeks, we've been hearing readings that are far more unsettling. Readings that speak of the moon no longer shining, and the clouds no longer giving, or not clouds giving light, but the turning blood red, the moon, and the clouds covering the peoples, and the sun no longer giving light, and all these things that are just kind of scary. The earth is shaking, right? Because, and as we talked about, whether it was last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, death and birth, and that's what we were focusing on. The end of time, right? As we made our way toward the end of the liturgical year and the Feast of Christ the King, that we look eschatologically at the end of time. And that births, which we started last week, you know, that Jesus talked about things being shaken. Because deaths and births are scary times. They both lead us to something new. And that's a hopeful thing. But they are times of upheaval and tumult. And so the readings, appropriately enough, focused in that direction. But now, in a sense, what we're doing is we're taking a step away from that birth, even though births are exciting, right? Oh, and by the way, I have to jump in here. 2 weeks ago, I tried terribly to give you that quote by John Henry Cardinal Newman, which was wonderful. You know, again, talking about change, and I just did. Oh, I failed miserably. I want to give it to you just because it's too good of a quote to leave in the hands of a lesser person 2 weeks ago who tried to give it to you awfully. The quote is simply this: "To live is to change, and to be perfect is to have changed often." Right? If only I could have said it so succinctly. To live is to change, and to be perfect is to have changed often. Now, change is scary for a lot of people, hence those images of the ground shaking beneath our feet, and the sun and moon no longer giving light, and I'm feeling in darkness. Change is scary. We get that. But out of change comes new birth, a new way of being. And while change is scary, I suspect, I don't know this, what John Henry Cardinal Newman is inviting us into is to say, listen, if we live in that period of change always in our life, to change often, or to be perfect is to have changed often, it means we're going to be walking in perfect faith because we are trusting God's leading, because we don't know where we're going. It's darkness all the time, and the only footsteps I'm taking is through God's leadership. And so I think that's where he's pointing. And though that quote makes sense for the last 3 weeks. But what we're looking at today is, again, expectant hope. We've gone through the change, and we're starting to see maybe a glimmer of what this birth may be leading us to. And so that's kind of the overarching, like I said, the 30,000-foot view. Let's take it down a little bit closer to what the word is saying. Okay, Baruch. I really think, brothers and sisters, we hear from Baruch like now in Advent And maybe, maybe if you read the extended readings in the Easter Vigil, because one of those is Baruch. Other than that, we may not hear from Baruch at all. So Baruch, let's talk about all Baruch. Again, as I indicated earlier, he's not even in a scripture. If you're in a hotel right now and you go in there and pick up Gideon's Bible, you're not going to find old Baruch in there. But Baruch is one of the apocryphal books, one of the, 9 to 11 books that a Catholic Bible will have that our Protestant brothers and sisters Bibles won't. And it's not because it's got some, you know, scary and sneaky things in there. A couple of reasons. One, it was written in Greek. And I won't go into the history of why books were chosen and others were not. Secondly, Jesus doesn't refer to it in the Gospels. And oftentimes when Jesus does refer to those are automatically part of the canon. Those two things, combined with politics, allowed it not to be in our Protestant sisters and brothers' scriptures. But the bottom line is, you can see, right, why this reading was chosen to go along with our gospel today. Because Baruch is, I mean, it's really beautifully hopeful reading, right? Last week, okay, who is Baruch, by the way? Baruch is said to have been the partner of Jeremiah. Kind of, he is the scribe, the writer. And so Jeremiah's words most likely were written down by Baruch. Now, the book of Baruch was probably written by 4 or 5 different people, Baruch being one of them, edited at a later time and combined and put together. Not that different than Isaiah, not that different than Genesis. These are things that just happened. But Baruch was a scribe, and these words were early on in Baruch, this is chapter 5. And we're looking during the Babylonian exile. Sound familiar? Because we just heard from Jeremiah last week that talked about the same thing, which would make sense that Baruch would write about that, because we're writing about the same time, at least this part of the book of the prophet Baruch. But did you notice a slight difference? It's interesting. Jeremiah is speaking to the people in exile, saying, don't give up hope. That was last week's reading. Right? I know you're in darkness. I know that feet is shaking beneath you. I know that the sun is no longer giving its light. You don't know who you are. But this isn't the end, is what he's saying to the people in exile. All right? Remain hopeful. Baruch is not talking to the people in exile. He's talking to the people still in Jerusalem, who he's saying, stand up. If you ever remember the song, Rise Up Jerusalem, I think back to my Newman Center days and how we used to sing that. This song is directly from that. Rise up, rise up, rise up, Jerusalem. That's this verse. And it's saying, you who are in Jerusalem, you who have been left by the people who were taken away in exile, look east, because they're going to be coming home. They're going to be coming back, because God's going to do everything in God's power to straighten that road, right? Stand upon the heights, it says. Look east and see your children gathered from the east and the west. Last week at church, we sang the song, People Look East, right? I'm sure many of you will sing that if you haven't already this Advent. People look east, the time is near of the coming. That's what, again, this, old Baruch. We sing about Baruch all the time. We sing about him more than we hear about him. Look east and see those we've lost, those we thought were gone from our lives, those we thought were captive, those things in our lives we thought we left behind, but we wish we wouldn't have, or whatever, captive. They are coming back to us, borne aloft as on royal thrones. They were led away by enemies, but they are coming. God will bring them back to us, and every lofty mountain will be made low, and the age-old depths and gorges will be filled, that the Israel may advance secure in the presence of God. And God will so be present and so wishes this to happen. He's going to send vegetation and fruit trees and every fragrant kind of tree to overshadow them, because God will lead them in joy. Joy is not something we've heard in our readings for the last month. But God is saying, hey, wherever you are, my friends, whatever you've lost, Oftentimes I look at my own heart and I think, I wish I had the vigor of my youth in my faith life or in my prayer life, because I don't have it anymore. And again, I think this is something where God, were here, or Baruch, we'd say, Joe, stand up and look east. It is coming. That which you think you have lost, it's there. It's there. Now, brothers and sisters, remember, when Baruch wrote this, it was probably early on in the exile, and they were there for almost 50 years. I do not know of the timing and the coming of whatever it is we have lost, abilities, thoughts, parts of ourselves, friendships, relationships, and when they will be brought back to us. It may well be in the kingdom itself. Baruch is not speaking in terms of days or in our own culture. We just like things fast food. We like things now. We're not a patient people. But our God, through Baruch, is saying, hey, everything you think you've lost, which made you who you are, it's still there. Stand up. Look east. It's coming. Because I will make sure that it comes. And it will come at the correct time, in the correct place, in the correct moment, in the correct way. And I do not know what that looks like. But brothers and sisters, stand tall. Stand erect. Dress well. And look east. For all that is coming. It's so good, brothers and sisters. Okay, and that's not the only hope we get. Let's go to our gospel. It's so good to hear Luke. Now, I know we heard Luke last week, but we heard Luke chapter 21 when Jesus is talking scary stuff. Now we're getting closer to the infancy narratives, but we're not there yet. The infancy narratives of Luke are only chapters 1 and 2. We're at the beginning of chapter 3. So we're still at the adult Jesus, but we're not looking at Jesus. We're looking at John the Baptist. And we understand very clearly why this gospel was chosen, because it ties so beautifully with Baruch. But again, so hopeful. Next week, we're going to get into the infancy narratives. We're going to get into the story and the preparation, and it's going to feel Christmassy. But this does too, brothers and sisters, because again, so much hope. Where does that come from? Well, let's take a look here. A couple of things. The first, what? Five lines of this gospel, you know, and I won't go over all of them again, but in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, he talks about Herod and Philip and Trachonitis and, you know, blah, 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 Licinius. Ultimately, he's saying, this story that we're going to tell you now, that I'm going to take the rest of these 22 chapters and share with you, it is not just a story that could be plopped down anywhere or floats above. It happened in real time, in a real place, in a real world, among real people. Because brothers and sisters, sometimes I think it's easy for me, maybe you too, to read the gospel and think of it in a sense above time, somewhere floating above us that happened way back then but doesn't happen now. And I think Luke would look at us and say, stop it. The Word of God doesn't come in theory. The Word of God comes in reality, in a real moment, today, into your place. I mean, in a sense, we could say, under the presidency of Joe Biden, in the governorship of Tony Evers, in the mayoralship of, you know, whoever, and I'm looking at it from a Wisconsin point of view. But again, insert whatever names. But that God comes to us in a real place, in a real moment, today, now, in your life. Not in theory, in reality. And I love how Luke, and he's not beginning his gospel that way. Those were the first two chapters. But he's beginning the actual story of Jesus in real time. And that's beautiful. But what does he say? He's talking about, okay, his ministry. It says, into this real place in real time comes John the Baptist. What is his proclamation? A baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. a voice of one crying out in the desert, and uses Isaiah's words, you know, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths, for every valley should be filled and every mountain made low, right? I mean, again, then we look back to Baruch, because Baruch used those same images. That's why they're tied together, of course. But I guess here's what I want to say. John the Baptist came proclaiming the forgiveness of sins, not just to the people of Israel, the Hebrew people. The last line, did you hear it? The rough way will be made smooth, and all flesh, all creation will see the salvation of God. This word, that the story that I'm going to tell you in real time, is for everybody. And what is this story? That you, brothers and sisters, are not held captive anymore by your sin. That our God, in God's great mercy, in God's great goodness, in God's great love for you today and me today in this moment, doesn't look at us and see only that stuff which we carry, that stuff so often you and I define ourselves by. Why do we do that? And again, I won't speak for you, but I think I'm not abnormal. Maybe it's my Irish heritage, but I carry shame. I carry a great deal of it. I think that's part of the human condition. And it's that voice in my head that says, Joe, you are not worthy of, and fill in the blank of what of is. Whether that's a relationship, a friendship, of people to listen to me, or to desire to hear what I have to say. But mostly, Joe, you're not worthy of God's forgiveness. You're not worthy of God's love. You're not worthy of God's presence. God's going to go to somebody better, more holy, more put together, more with some talents and something to give, right? And John would look at us today and say, stop it. Stop it. All flesh will see the salvation of God. Mine is for everybody. When God looks at us, he does not see our failings. We look at ourselves and see it. And he's saying, stop. Turn around. This is the metanoia. We often use that word. That's what he's saying. He's saying, turn around, repent. That's what it means. It doesn't mean to just ask forgiveness. It says, turn around and think differently. Think differently that God does not burden you with the same burdens you burden yourself with and I burden myself with, which is that lack of forgiveness and lack of worthiness. Worthiness isn't even God's game. I mean, the bottom line is, of course, we're not worthy. But God doesn't even play it. God just looks at us and says, but I love you. Do our children, do we need them to be worthy before we love them? Do our spouses or our friends, do they need to be worthy of us before? Well, if we can love without worthiness, why don't we let God do it? But we don't do it with ourselves. And John, brothers and sisters, is telling us, think differently. Stop this worthiness game because you're not going to win. You cannot play it. God is asking you to be outside of it. Let God love you here, in this day, in this moment, in this place, in time, because that's where God wants to love you. This is good news. This is good news because that's what salvation looks like. That you, my friend, are loved today, right here, in this moment, in this space. Because you are good and beautiful, because God made you as such. And if God chooses to love us, who are we not to let God love? This is a good day. And this metanoia, last thing I'll say, this turning around, we cannot do it without God's assistance. It's God's invitation, right? God's the one who went and called the disciples forth, but they had to say yes to the invitation. It was God who sent the angel, Archangel Gabriel, to announce the good news to Mary, but Mary had to say yes. Allow God to invite you into a new place. And you and I simply have to have the courage of Mary and the disciples to say, I'm going to leave behind that baggage, all that shame, all that stuff, and allow myself to be loved. And when we do, my friends, we experience the salvation, the hope, that these readings are inviting us to. Let's pray. And we begin as we begin all things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's do the same one. I know we did the fifth glorious last week. Let's do it again. It'll make sense as we fall into our timeline next week. The fifth glorious mystery, Mary is crowned Queen of Heaven. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, bless you. Thank you for being with me this day. And may your week be filled with every good blessing. Be well, and God's peace.